As we stand, would you pray with me, please? Lord, give us such an awareness of ourselves that we might learn to be the servants of others. Take our hands and work through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our mouths and speak through them. And set our hearts on fire with your abiding love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we start, we do want to introduce John Voort, who is the regional representative for Compassion Canada, and sitting beside, of course, his wife, Mary Lee. And welcome. Our Old Testament lesson this morning is from the book of Exodus, and is one of the most famous scripture passages of all. The giving of the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel. The story of the giving of the commandments is found in both the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy. And both books describe the commandments as being written on two tablets of stone. The detail about the two tablets is important because it indicates that there are two categories within the commandments. The first four commandments are concerned with our relationship with God, and the following six commandments are concerned with our relationship with one another.
In this morning's gospel lesson from Mark 12, Jesus is shown as teaching the twofold nature of the commandments in a most memorable way. Jesus is asked by a teacher of the law, of all the commandments, which is most important? Jesus begins his answer by quoting the Shema, the ancient creed of Israel found in Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So far, Jesus' answer is one that his questioner would have expected. But then Jesus goes beyond the expected teaching and quotes from an obscure passage in the book of Leviticus. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus concludes by saying, there is no commandment greater than these.
Here Jesus makes clear what was already implicit in the commandments, that one cannot properly love one's neighbor unless that love is rooted in one's love of God. And one cannot love God without also loving one's neighbors. This morning, Judith and I have the privilege of telling you about a ministry which gives us a practical and powerful way of responding to the commandment to love God and love our neighbor right now in this place. And that ministry is called Compassion.
Compassion International consists of sponsoring organizations in 13 nations who work with the local church in 26 of the world's poorest countries. One of these places is Nicaragua.
Nicaragua, a former Spanish colony, has been an independent country since 1834. The country has been afflicted by many coups, rebellions, and dictators. The most recent civil war ended in 1990 and cost the country 50,000 lives and untold economic and psychological damage. The country has also experienced numerous natural disasters, most recently Hurricane Mitch in 1998. The last two decades have seen greater political stability and significant improvements in infrastructure. However, this country of 6 million people is second only to Haiti as being the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. Judith and I boarded a flight for Managua, Nicaragua in Calgary, and after changing planes in Mexico City, arrived Saturday, February 17th. We were part of a group of 11 Canadian clergy from all over Canada, a clergy spouse, and two leaders from Compassion Canada. Now, the one pastor's spouse on the trip was Judith. and we were told that usually several spouses come, but not this time. But we discovered that it was very important that she be there. The Nicaraguan pastor's wives we met, the many women leaders and staff of the various projects we visited, and the many single mothers with children in the program, all flocked to her.
the Compassion Canada leaders with us and the members of Compassion Nicaragua, who were our guides and translators, were wonderful people. They were incredibly knowledgeable. They had a deep love for the people, especially the children they served, and were all deeply committed Christians who saw their work as first and foremost a call from God. And in the picture you see Topher, our leader, who is a colleague of John's.
The Compassion motto, releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name, is not only words, it is lived out in action. We were particularly moved to see how Compassion sees their work as equipping local churches to minister to the poorest of the poor among them. Compassion isn't into branding or making a name for themselves. They don't put Compassion International signs on local churches. Instead, they quietly and effectively partner with local churches, providing the funds and expertise needed for their programs to assist the poor.
Like many of you, James and I have chosen Compassion Canada as one of the ways we love our neighbors. But we have never really known how it works. Do those letters really arrive? Do they really matter? How can $41 a month actually impact a child, let alone their family and community, let alone the huge problem of poverty?
Compassion Canada invites people to come on trips to see how they do this. Anyone who sponsors a child can have the opportunity to visit the country and meet their child. But Compassion particularly encourages pastors and spouses to come so that we can describe what we have seen to members of the congregation who aren't able to make such a trip, and so that we will encourage people to become involved in Compassion's work because it is outstanding. In preparation for the trip, we decided to sponsor another child so that we could actually meet him or her. And we chose Mario, a 13-year-old boy who had been previously sponsored, but whose sponsors had had to quit. Apparently, this can happen during an economic downturn. It seemed to us that that would have been heartbreaking for him. And John Voort suggested that a boy that age would really benefit from the relationship and encouragement, as well as the money that sponsorship provides.
One of the first things we learned upon arrival was that Compassion is a child sponsorship program, yes, but more than that, Compassion International is a child discipleship program. We learned that the local church is the center of all this. And of course, James and I love that. When we arrived, our first activity was to go to church. In their mandate to release children from poverty, Compassion partners with the churches. They are completely upfront Christians because they believe that lives are transformed first and foremost by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The children don't have to be a part of any denomination, and they don't have to be a Christian to participate in the program, but they will have the gospel presented to them. Our Old Testament reading that Alan read, Exodus 20, verse 6, says that the Lord will show love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Compassion Canada is all about breaking the cycle of poverty and beginning a cycle of blessing. We saw these children listening to stories and sermons, praying and singing. Compassion's mandate to love these children includes all the facets of a child's life, spiritual, yes, but also physical, cognitive, and emotional, social. We learned that the inspiration for those four areas comes from Luke 2:52. Jesus grew in wisdom cognitively and stature physically, in favor with God spiritually, and humanity emotionally, socially. And that reminds me of this morning's reading from Mark 12, verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart emotionally, socially, with all your soul, spiritually, with all your mind, cognitively, and with all your strength, physically. How does Compassion do this?
They showed us. The first day we were taken to a project to see a child survival program. And here we are with a bag of gifts from St. Augustine's, And we also took a full suitcase of baby's clothes and blankets from St. Augustine.
Can I interject? We also took Days for Girls suitcase from Margot, which is a different ministry, which Compassion said, sure, bring it. We've got people. And I'll talk to Margot more about that later.
Compassion support for the child begins when the child is in the womb. The Child Survivor Program rescues moms and babies from desperate poverty, provides food for malnourished children, and teaches moms how to take care of their kids. And this all happens in a local church. In all the programs, the teachers and leaders are mostly volunteers from that church. The Child Survival Program is funded by churches and individuals and is separate from the Child Sponsorship Program that is more familiar to most of us. But the two dovetail. The infants supported by this program are eligible to be sponsored when they turn two, but they already have had a good start in life. And by the way, the neuroscientists at the U of L are emphatic about how developmentally important the time from conception and throughout the first 3 years of life is. And Compassion starts their work with children while they are still in utero.
The next program we were introduced to was the Child Sponsorship Program. This is the program where individuals like us or groups like our Sunday school choose a child pack with a photo and description of the girl or boy and agree to sponsor that child for a number of years. And you probably saw lots of those child packs when you were coming in. We had the privilege of visiting the homes of some of these sponsored children. The children chosen by Compassion for sponsorship are those in the worst conditions of poverty. The first home we visited was a windowless shack of corrugated tin walls and a roof and dirt floors. There was no electricity or running water, and it caused us to wonder what it was like at 10 o'clock at night when everything was pitch black. And what was it like during the rainy season with mud everywhere?
The family graciously welcomed us into their home, and we gathered just inside the front entrance. The little boy ran to an old chest of drawers and pulled out a brightly colored folder. Inside the folder were all the letters that he had received from his Compassion sponsor. He proudly showed them to us. Yeah, those letters and photos and stickers really do get to the kids, and it means so much to them. Part of the beauty of the Compassion sponsorship program is that not only are the children given financial support by their sponsors, but relationships are fostered through the letters. The letters provide emotional support for the children who know that there is someone in a faraway country who is interested in them, believes in them, tells them that they are proud of them, and thinks that they are worthy of support and friendship. These letters also provide spiritual support to children when sponsors tell them that God loves them and that they are praying for them.
I can't express how warmly we were received in the homes and then at the sponsorship project. With homemade gifts and performances, we heard the most vibrant singing. We were seeing people who were materially poor, but people with great faith and joy. People really dependent on God. Materially poor, but rich in faith. In Nicaragua, the children either go to school from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. or from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. The part of the day when they are not in school, they are at the project. The project reminded me of our VBS, with Bible stories, singing, music, playing, crafts, along with tutoring, vocational training for the older children and young adults, and feeding the children, for whom this might be their only meal for the day. We got to serve these meals at the project. It's quite something to be in the middle of a rowdy game and then sudden silence descends when it's time to sit and pray before a meal. Many times we saw the children eat part of their meal and then carefully put the rest in a plastic bag to take the food home to eat later or to give to a family member. At the project, they brush their teeth, because toothbrushes are left at the project, otherwise they disappear. They are given shoes if they need them. They go to the dentist if they need to.
These are saints working with the children. Often people from the congregations volunteer 5 days a week, morning and afternoon. The pastor oversees the work. There are a few paid staff, some of the teachers and accountants and health workers. After chatting with a few clergy and wives that there in Nicaragua, I believe that a rough estimate would be 50% of the congregants were involved in this ministry to children, and that blew us away.
At the project, located in Leon, we went from room to room hearing from staff and volunteers how they do their job. The Compassion staff wanted to show us everything and wanted total transparency regarding how the money is spent. For example, every receipt for everything for every kid is kept and documented in their personal binder. $35 of our $41 a month goes to the child. In fact, the statistics for Compassion Canada are so good that when a doctoral student did research on Compassion International, her research was rejected because her advisors thought her findings were too good to be true. This is a story you can look up. It was in Christianity Today for one place. There was research done again a few years later, a much larger study, and it corroborated what that initial student had found out. When we toured the Compassion office, we were shown detailed accounting statistics, which some people in our group understood. It was apparently all transparent and clear. Back in the projects, in those children's binders, there is also a page for each child to write their dreams and plans for the future. That would be a good thing to ask them about in the letters. And we saw the room where they write their letters to us. And we also saw the letters at the Compassion office.
The older children get vocational training. For example, more advanced music training, beauty, cosmetology, barber training, computer training. In one of the projects, they teach sewing. And the young adults sew school uniforms for the children, white shirt and dark pants, because many children do not go to school because they cannot afford the school outfit. In one project on the weekend, when the children don't attend, we saw a group of adults, mostly men, being taught how to fix cell phones. The projects are a blessing to the whole community.
James and I found ourselves in the middle of miracles during our second home visit. Hofer interrupted our tour of the project to tell us that it had just been arranged that the home visit that afternoon would be to our sponsored child's home. John Vort tells us that is extremely rare. We already knew we would have the profound experience of meeting Mario during the child visit day at a park the next day. But now, today, in Leon, a poor village north of Managua, near the project we were visiting, we would get to meet Mario and his family and see the home where he lives and sleeps and plays. As we were walking there with one of Mario's tutors, the translator told us that Mario has an older sister, a father who sometimes lives with the family and most of the time lives in Guatemala, and a little sister with Down syndrome. The package had not given us that information, so we were thrilled to hear about little Ruth because of our great love for our goddaughter, Maggie. Our meeting was emotional. Meeting this young boy with whom we were going to share our lives, and meeting his family and seeing his circumstances. At the end of the visit, we presented him with two heavy bags of food given by Compassion in thanksgiving for the family opening their home to us. And that was a miracle, but we didn't know that yet. I'll come to that. The next day, while we watched John, David Bestplug's Compassion child, and Mario play soccer with the pastors and translators, and that was a miracle, because we got to meet John, and John and Mario were the same age, and they totally bonded and became friends. And I need to tell you, because David is here and was up at the front being commissioned earlier, there he is, I need to tell you that when we met John, he had in his little backpack that he brought for the day all the baseball cards that David has sent him and all his letters to show us. That's how important they are. So back to, that was another of the miracles. And we noticed Mario's mother, while the boys were playing soccer, talking to the translator. He came to us and said, "I have a story." Mario's mom, Mercedes, had told him that the day before our home visit, which was not yet scheduled to happen at her house, she had gone shopping for groceries. She stopped for a few minutes to play with her little daughter, Ruth, and she put down her bag that contained her grocery money. When she turned to pick it up, it was gone. And this was her money for groceries. She was heartsick and had to go back and tell Mario and the family that she'd lost their grocery money. Mercedes is a believer, and she told the family, that's the mother, that God would not forget them and that they should pray and have faith. The next day, she and her family got a completely unexpected visit from a bunch of North American pastors who didn't have a clue that this had happened, carrying two heavy bags of grocery staples, oil, rice, beans. She and her family were overwhelmed. And we and our party of pastors, translators, had been allowed to participate in God's answer to her prayer. It was a tremendous day, and it was very hard to say goodbye to Mario and to John.
The last day of our trip ended with guests for dinner, two young women who were graduates from the Compassion Canada program. They had come from the poorest of poor, abject poverty, and as their mothers sat proudly next to them, they told their story. They told their stories of the impact the sponsorship program is having on their lives. Both are university graduates, and both are going to change their world. One of the girls was a failure to thrive baby, and she described the tireless efforts of the leaders at her project to supplement her nutrition and remind her to eat. She also knocked out her front teeth as a child, and Compassion paid for dental work. This young woman has a degree in international development, and hope someday to be an ambassador.
And this lovely young woman in the final picture graduated as an accountant and is now employed at a compassion project, herself working to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. The first girl only received one letter from her sponsor the whole time. And the second girl didn't receive any. Their sponsors faithfully wrote the checks, but they missed out on a relationship with some outstanding young women.
Now, some years ago, Steve, thank you. You've been running the pictures here. And some years ago, Steve and Linda went to East Africa with Compassion Canada, and and later on, hopefully in a sermon or something, we can hear a big part of this. But if you would just, yeah.
Sure.
Thanks, Steve.
The really short version is that is what they said.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. It's all true. And we saw the same things. I've had the privilege of being on the boards of a couple different Christian mission organizations and working with, I think, probably, you know, more than a dozen others, for sure. And I know how easy it is when you're crossing cultures to go in intending to do a lot of good and accidentally have it backfire on you, especially when money is involved. And I just, I know that the strategy that Compassion employs is the right one. By bringing the money in and starting with the children, you not only affect the children, you affect the families, and you affect the entire community. And so they have the right strategy, but they also have the right execution, working as closely as they do through the local church. So Linda and I, for many years, have had nothing but the very highest regard for Compassion and the work they do and the way that they do it. And we just encourage you If any of you have any questions for us about our trip to Kenya or Uganda, we'd be happy to discuss it. Linda, do you mind standing up so that everybody knows who you are? And you can talk to Linda as well. And just strongly encourage you to prayerfully consider sponsoring a child if you're not, or more than one if you're not already. Thank you.
Steve, there's something you noticed too which might be helpful. In terms of the churches that you were involved with,
I forgot the punchline, didn't I? Yeah, that's rare for me. when we were over in East Africa, we were not yet Anglicans, and yet most of the churches we worked with, that Compassion worked with in that area, were Anglican churches. So that was our first exposure to the likes of you, and we were so impressed we decided to come on board.
John, who, by the way, anyone who has questions, John is the guy who knows about Compassion Canada. But anything that you want to add or anything that we've missed? My dear sisters and brothers in Christ, today we have the opportunity to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. John will be manning the table following the service, and go to the table and choose a child, any child. If you already have a sponsored child, sponsor another. You will change their lives, and through relationship with them, you will bring blessing on your own life. And if sponsorship is not possible, then, as you are able, support one of our Sunday school sponsored children. Today, we not only tell God we love Him, but we show God we love Him by loving our neighbors as ourselves. Amen.